your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're here on a Tuesday night here on the Para-X Network. So excited to be back, of course.
Yeah. So, Heidi, you know, I was thinking about this, but, you know, 2 years ago this week, I believe it was this week, we started our weekly Gathering radio
That's
show.
That's right.
So we've been doing this for a little over 4 years, but it was 2 years ago that we went to weekly because we used to have it just every once a month at the end of the month. Yeah. So how about that? So we've got through 2 years.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
That I mean, cool. If I do pat ourselves on the back, I think that's pretty cool.
Yay! Let's do that. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And I'm still having trouble with Skype, so I think everybody can hear me. And we were looking at each other, but now it's all frozen, so I'm not really sure what's going on. I have this new computer, and I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's cool. But, yeah, because I can't even see it because my camera is just black, and I'm not sure what the setting I could do to figure it out, but I don't know.
You got to love Skype and all of its little nuances.
Oh, I know. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, so here we are on a beautiful summer's evening. It's after the solstice. There was a lot of crazy energy this weekend around all that. And
well, we had the solstice and the full moon in the same week.
I know.
It was pretty big.
Isn't that a crazy thing going on? And, yeah, so it's just, you know, the outdoors, everybody's outside. And so I will say that there's so many people outside that my animals are all restless. So if you hear barking, you know, meowing, whatever, there's nothing I can do about it. There's nobody else home. My daughter's in New York City this week. And so it's just little old me here. I have no one to control the babies. But it is what it is. We'll get through it.
It's all good.
Yeah. You know, one of the fun things I did, not over the weekend, but on Friday, I went down to the Eagle's Nest down by the river.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love my babies. And I really thought that they would have fledged because last time I saw them it had been almost 2 weeks and they were as big as mom, you know, and
they
were jumping and flapping their wings and stuff. And I'm like, oh, they're not going to be there. Unbelievably so, all three of them were still in the nest, and they would get up, and one of them actually flew to one of the branches, and I really meant to get back there over the weekend, but the weather wasn't perfect for it, and I was super busy, so I'm really hoping they'll still be there on Friday, so I can go have another look at them, but
yeah.
I'm guessing at least one of them, because there's three of them, so I'm guessing at least one of them will be there, but they are just, they're so cute when they start jumping around, you know, and that one just kind of flew to the branch, I think probably for the first time, and she just hung on there, you know, and just swayed in the wind. It was pretty windy. I was there for maybe about an hour and a half. I haven't had a chance to look at the pictures yet. Hopefully I got something, but the light wasn't ideal because it was darker. You know, it was later in the day and she was really dark. She was really in shadows. But we'll see. But and that was like right on the solstice. So it was really fun for me to see the babies on the solstice. You know, it was just so cool.
Yeah, that's always good. I mean, it's good to be doing something. I think I was outside whenever I could be. Most of the day. Well, this weekend, because like you said, the weather wasn't fantastic.
Yeah.
If I wasn't working and all that good stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to an artisan market, I think, on Friday for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, like I had Ghost Dance, you know, he's so funny. He says they said they were going to leave, but they decided to hang until you got back. Well, I'm hoping they're still there when I go back on Friday or Saturday or whenever I get back there, because I do want to see them one more time. And you know, the story that I always like to tell people is when I used to go down there a lot more, when I used to park close to there, I used to go to that nest, a couple times a week, you know, when the babies were in there. And there was one time, and Mama only had one baby for a few years, and this was one of those years, and I watched this baby grow, and I had, you know, I have a million photos of this one fledgling, you know, and they laid really late that year, and for some reason, it was my birthday week, because I remember Casey and I went to have breakfast on my birthday, and I said, we got to go down to the nest, because I got to see if that baby is still there, if she's gone, whatever. I just had a feeling she was going to be gone, and we went down there, and the nest, no one was home, and we looked through those trees, and I felt super bad, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes the baby, flying, gliding. She came right over, within 3 feet of my head.
Oh, my gosh.
She almost, like, looked at me, and then she flew to Casey. Casey was probably 50 yards away because she was looking in the trees, too. And then she circled back and came and almost, like, gliding right down to me, like, saying, look at me, I can fly. Oh my God, thanks for coming to see me all this time. Aww. And now I'm gonna go on. It was the best birthday gift ever.
That's great.
You know what I mean? But it was just like, and then I never saw her again, which is sad, but what a fabulous birthday gift.
That's a nice gift.
Exactly. You know, she kept just showing off what she could do, and she was just so beautiful, you know?
That's
and
really
so
sweet.
I know. That's like my favorite story. I tell everybody down at the nest that story too when we talk about.
Well,
you
know, it's a good story.
Well, I know, right? You know, we all talk about some people are that live close by there now because they've built so many condominiums right there on the river, and so they come like every day, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to talk to them because then they tell me what's going on, you know. Because I'm only there probably once a week, maybe twice a week if I'm lucky, but. Anyway, so that's my solstice story. That's what I did on the solstice was I went and visited with the Eagles for
very cool.
A little while. Yeah, it was fun.
Good.
And then, you know, a lot of things were happening in Minneapolis this weekend. It was Pride weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I got to say, I have kind of a story to tell about that. So Casey had wanted me to go down and see, she had a friend who was emceeing one of the stages, and it was drag queens and, you know, whatever. And she said, Mom, you got to come. And it was in the middle of the afternoon on Saturday. And I'm like, okay. So we went down there, and there are just so many people there. You know, your bodies are pressed together because it's a small space. And I swear to God, there are as many people there as there are at the Minnesota State Fair and you know how big the fairgrounds are. You know what I mean? And so we were there in front of the stage, and we were there for, I guess it was about an hour and 10 minutes. And about 45 minutes in, you know, I tried to protect myself because, you know, we're all empaths. I feel what people feel. And then all of a sudden, I just felt so sad. All of a sudden, I just thought, oh, my God, I'm going to cry. And then all of a sudden, I felt nauseous, sick.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So I waited out the regular set, you know, and then Casey wanted to talk to her friend, but I said, I gotta go. I can't, this is too much for me. I gotta walk out of here now. And she's, Mom, just wait for a minute. And I'm like, yeah, no, I slipped away. And I felt sick literally for the rest of the day. I felt sick and sad all night long. And it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I just, you know, and Casey said to me, well, Mom, think about all the sadness there, because these people, this is the only time they can feel like themselves is when they're at Pride, you know, and all the other times they're so sad. And I'm like, well, then I would think it would be more happiness because they're happy to be there and they're happy to be them, whatever. But she said, yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know if I can ever do that again. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, there's got to be so many emotions too with, you know, not just not being able to be who you are. Because I think some people are able to now, but maybe they couldn't be in the past, or maybe they still are, there are now, but they're treated poorly or abused or whatever. I mean, there's so many different ways that could go, and I can't imagine. Yeah, and I know I've been there in past years, and it's really, it's beautiful to be there with everybody coming together to celebrate and to stand together, and it's really great. But then it's also, it's really hard because you do, you know, if you're not, you know, you can pick up, you know, you just have to be really careful of your own protections, you know, and it's not that I don't want to, I do want to be compassionate for others, but I have to be careful of my own energy too, just to take that on.
And like I said, I was pretty good for about 45 minutes, and then I must have been not paying attention or whatever, you know how it happens, and then it all came in, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know. But a fabulous event, lots and lots and lots of people. Oh my goodness, can I just say?
That's great.
No place to park, you know, you pay $20 to park somewhere for, you know, like an hour. But it is what it is. So, so she's out in New York this week for the big one out there, and she's actually filming a movie these 3 days. She and her friend Sean are in an indie kind of movie that's going to be shown at the Sundance Film Festival, I think, next winter. So that's really cool. But then they're staying the weekend, and some other friends of ours are going out to meet them for Pride, and they're going to go to Stonewall, and you know, it's a big historic thing out there. It's much bigger there than it is here, and we think it's big in Minneapolis, but out there it's like huge, you know.
Cool.
So yeah, anyway, so that was my weekend.
Well, I have some feedback from our show last week.
Yeah.
And I actually ran into a relatively new friend of mine, and I think you know her too. So I'm going to give a shout out because I know she listens every week. Super huge fan of The Gathering show, to Lore. She's I ran into her. I won't say her last name for privacy, but I think she's listening, pretty sure. Yeah. So I want to say hi, and thanks for being a fan. And I ran into her last week, and she was talking about our intuition show and how much she loved it. But she's like, oh my gosh, it just killed me because you guys just scraped the surface. And I'm like, I know we did. I said, that's like an 18-hour show. So we'll have to do a second edition and start deeper right away so that we don't just skim the surface, because I know the surface. So
maybe we should do it sooner rather than later, you know. So if we did it last week, we do have some things, I don't know what we have going on next week, but Don Sherman, who I asked to be on the show tonight because Bigfoot Days is next weekend, you know, but he is busy out in the field, man. He's got a lot of stuff going on up there. Oh my God, I wish I could go up there and be with him and see what's going on. But they're hearing tree knocks, they're hearing all kinds of stuff. So he couldn't be on the show tonight. But so he's going to be on in 2 weeks, though. So we looked at the calendar and
we'll follow up next week then.
That'd be fun. Yeah, because we're going to be at Superfan Anita's next week. Yes, so that would be awesome. Let's do it. We'll do the follow up on intuition next week then.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
A little deeper dive. So that'll be next week. So anyway, thanks for the feedback. And I just wanted to give that shout out to someone that listens to our show on a very regular basis and always has nice things to say. So it's very sweet. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, it's good to hear that kind of stuff. You know, it makes us feel good because, you know, we do this every week, and sometimes, you know, we have to be honest. We used to plan much better than we do now. We kind of got in a
We were on a roll last year. I mean, I don't know what was wrong with us, but we were very planful last year.
We were. And now this year it's been kind of like, okay, well, what should we do tomorrow night?
We always have topics. You just have to figure it out. So
it's such a big subject, the whole paranormal field and metaphysical and, you know, cryptid. I mean, there's so much to talk about that, you know, it's really easy to do, but we're going to start having more guests too, but because we're just so busy, we just haven't been planning guests either. So, but we will, starting with Don Sherman. So it's all good. But yes, we love the feedback. And if anyone has any ideas for subjects for shows, you know, do let us know. And I know you do, because we do a lot of listener inspired topics.
Yep, absolutely. So
what are we doing tonight, Heidi? And I'm gonna let you kind of take the lead tonight, because we're talking about divination tools. Did I say it right? Tools of divination.
Yes. And it's something that is near and dear to my heart. with a few of these items, I won't say that I use all of them that I've been kind of looking at or that I'm aware of anyway. But the reason I thought of this is that I'm teaching a tarot class right now, and I've been teaching it. It's an 8-week course if you go through both series. There's a level one and a level two. And so we're in the level two right now. We're almost done with it. We have one more class. And so, so that's what made me think about this topic is tarot cards. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to spend a whole show talking about tarot cards. I mean, we can send 10 shows on tarot cards,
yes.
But
yes.
I mean, I teach an 8-week class and we skim the surface on that, you know, and, it's a 2.5 hour first half of the, you know, the first four classes are 2.5 hours. Like I am racing to get through 2.5 hours of information each class. And the second one is about 2 hours. I mean, and it's like, we skim the surface. So it's, so I love the tarot. And, but there's other things that I work with too. And I'm like, well, this might be kind of interesting just to talk about a few of these things. And certainly anybody in the chat room, if you have tools that you work with, or just maybe you have them because you like them and you don't use them, that's fine. You know, go ahead and share and we'll put it on the air as well. But that's what made me think about it. I'm like, well, that might be kind of interesting. So, have you ever worked with, just curious, tarot cards?
No.
Nothing. Okay. What, any divination tools? Just curious.
You know what we use, you know, I've used, dowsing rods, which can be used for that.
Yeah.
And of course we used Ouija boards back before today when, you know, we knew that it was not a good thing unless you knew what you were doing.
Oh yeah.
And I do have a pendulum, but I haven't activated it yet. I haven't actually used it yet. I just haven't had the wherewithal to do that.
Sure.
You know, everything comes in time, but it's beautiful. It's an amethyst stone, and I got it down at a Paracon, I think in Kansas or something, you know.
Okay,
so
cool.
So I will eventually, but so
a bit of a dabbler, maybe
a bit of a dabbler, but not tarot cards. I don't know why. It's not that I'm afraid of them or anything. I think it would be very fun to learn. Maybe next time you do the classes, maybe I'll, you know, take it from square one, you know what I mean?
But yeah. And it's really, just for the tarot, it's really cool because it doesn't mean you're going to learn them so you do readings for yourself or readings for others. I mean, you can, obviously you can. Mm-hmm. But really, it can just be guiding you through your own life journey. You know, they do get really personal and they can really help you see just where you're at right now. And kind of getting honest with yourself on where you're at, you know, so, and I've had people that have taken my class only because, I mean, bless their hearts, they just want to take one of my classes and they have no interest in tarot, but it's what I'm teaching right now. So they are like, I am taking your class. I'm like, you are so sweet, but what are you doing here? Because you don't want to take tarot. And they're like, I don't care. I'm taking your class. I'm like, okay. And they get done with the first four weeks. And they're like, are you kidding me? They're like, this really hit me in like my heart. Like it really showed me things in my life that I thought, I need to know this. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? That's so, and I know it can, but you know, you think of someone that's really not interested. They just want to take it maybe for fun. And it really does speak to them.
Oh.
And so, and I've heard the same feedback in many of those classes. And so I'm like, well, that's awesome. I'm so honored, you know, that I can show people a tool that maybe, you know, some people are a little afraid of, some people are against them, some people just don't understand them or they think it's too confusing. Mm-hmm. And to work with people in a way it's really easy, it's very basic, and it's, you know, it's a way to maybe strengthen your intuition and trust your intuition a little bit. So it's really, I love it. I love teaching it. I love working with them. And so that's what made me think of this class. But it's neat. And even I have a monthly tarot group that I say, like, anybody can sign up and come, even if you don't know tarot at all, like zero.
Oh.
And if you don't have cards at all, zero, you can still come. And I've had people do it that have absolutely not one. They've never looked at tarot cards and they show up and they're like, this was weird. And like in a good way, like it worked, like this is crazy. And so it's fun. I just, so that's what I thought I, you know, wanted to start with, you know,
well,
but there's other
sure.
things. Cause you said what, dowsing rods or divining rods.
Yep.
And then pendulum, which I
pendulums. Yeah.
Make and both of those and work with them.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course, you know, there's Ouija boards,
which
is also a spirit board or comes under many different things. And of course I haven't used one for, you know, 30 some years or whatever.
Well,
but
here's the deal, Steph. Yeah. It's no different than using tarot cards. I mean, honestly, well, it's not different than a pendulum or dividing rods or anything. It's just, it's, you know, we've talked about this. Spirit boards get a bad rap because of movies and TV shows and the internet and all that fun stuff. But really, it's a horrible tool for communication.
Yeah.
Because you have one tarot card and you can get miles and miles of information from one card. And you have this board that you have to hope will just scoot around and give you one little peck of a letter at a time to spell one word to then finally spell it one sentence. It takes forever. When you can flip a card and have all the information you could ever hope to have, it's like, I would never use a spirit board. Just for that reason alone, it's time-consuming and ridiculous. So, because it's just, it's just so slow. So, yeah, so it's like, it's no different than anything else. It's just, you know, if it's used and worked with properly, it can be a helpful tool. It's just, a Ouija board is so slow. It's just like, oh, I just want to beat my head against a wall.
I know.
That would be more fun than waiting for a Ouija board to spit out an answer, you know? So.
It is true. It is true. Although I have to say, when I was a small child and my auntie and my mom were on the Ouija board one night and my cousin was pregnant and they asked, it was just flying, man. It was just flying across that board. And it, they asked, well, you know, is Sherry going to have a boy or is she going to have a girl? What's she going to have? And, oh boy, it came back both. It kept going to both. Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, you know. And sure enough, she had twins and it was a boy and a girl. But it was, like a crazy thing. It was just like flying back and forth. And, you know, intuition and sensitiveness, it all runs in the family, so everybody has it. So for those of us who do have that, it probably does go pretty fast if it gets worked up, you know what I mean?
It can. It depends on who's communicating to, you know, on the other side. So
exactly. I'll never forget that because I was like five or something, you know, and oh my god, they were just like, it was just flying around that board and I'm just like, oh my god,
yeah,
what's
cool.
going on here? Yeah.
So I think my favorite personal favorite is tarot, and I honestly I've had probably 30 decks over the years. I don't know that I have that many right now, but over with oracle decks I have 50, I would say, for sure.
So,
but oracle decks are different.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's the difference between oracle decks and tarot cards?
So a tarot deck is a set of 78 cards that are divided. They have two main sections, the major arcana and the minor arcana, and 78 cards every time. I mean, I think I've found a couple of decks that have had like a bonus card. I have one deck that has a bonus card. It's called the Happy Squirrel, and I forget the reason it's in there, but I leave it in because I'm like, well, if there's going to be a card with the Happy Squirrel in, I'm definitely leaving it in the deck. And I can't even tell you how many times it actually shows up in a reading when I use that deck. So, but traditionally, 78 cards. I mean, originally, the deck, when it was first created, was just the majors of 22 cards. And then the other 56 cards were added later to create the 78-card deck. And oracle cards are whatever you want it to be. It's a different number for whoever the author and artist is. It's whatever you want the subject to be. It's if you want it to be totally intuitive or it gives you a full description of the card, like this is what it means. The oracle cards are anything. It could be any number of cards. It could be anything. Where the tarot deck is much more structured when it comes to the number of cards, the suits, the arcanas, it's very structured that way. Now, the subject of the cards is just as varied as oracle cards. You can have there's thousands of topics of tarot cards, but tarot cards are very specific in the number of cards and how they're organized. So if it doesn't say tarot on the deck or it says oracle or divination, it has to say tarot, or you have 78 cards that implies it's tarot, but usually they say tarot so that you know the difference.
Mm-hmm. But they... Do they look kind of similar, though?
I suppose they can, because the tarot is so varied now with how many artists and authors have created decks. There's thousands and thousands of decks out there. So same with oracle cards. And sometimes an author and or artist, it depends on, sometimes the author is the artist. But if it's a couple of people, they'll make a tarot deck and an oracle deck to go with it. So I have a couple of those sets, and they're kind of nice. But it's just the topics, like the subject. Like I have one that I just got that's a crow deck. Mm-hmm. It's a tarot mm-hmm. deck. And I needed mm-hmm. another deck, like I needed a hole in the head. But mm-hmm. I bought it because it was a crow and it really was speaking to me. And I just mm-hmm. fantastically love this deck. It really is beautiful. And the words, the writing, this woman is, she's a really gifted in this. And so I love it. And so I helped back her deck because I loved it so much. I didn't even know if it was going to exist. Oh. And I'm like, I got to back this thing because it needs to exist. And so that was really cool to be able to help with that. So it's crows, right? One of my totem right. animals. And mm-hmm. so then I have, I've seen decks out there. There's like unicorns. There's Renaissance paintings. You name it, they probably have a tarot deck for it. Cats. I don't know. I'm trying to think of mm-hmm. what I have. There's different, like, cultural, like, I have a Celtic deck. I think I have some kind of Celtic deck. Yeah, if you name it, you can probably find it. I have a zombie deck.
Zombies. Do they have a Norwegian deck, like an old Viking deck? Oh, that'd be fun to have.
Oh, Vikings, I think they do.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Don't quote me on it, but I almost think I've seen it. So, but I would imagine by the time we get done with the show, if it doesn't exist, it will. So someone is making it as we speak right now, if it doesn't exist. So why would I even think that? But it's probably out there. That's what makes it really fun is that you can find something that really fits you, even if you don't understand tarot. If you find something that you connect with, it might resonate more with you and you might connect with it more intuitively that would help you. And the reason why would we use divination decks? We're communicating with spirit or to receive divine information that isn't necessarily right in front of us. We're looking for answers of some kind. And so we're working with tools that might help us channel this information mm-hmm. From some source that's outside of us, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing this. Why would you pick any tool to help you really focus that energy to receive information? So anyway, that's my spiel. But so tarot, anyway, and I think I missed a history of tarot cards is rooted in Eastern European gypsies. I don't think so. That's a question on the chat room. I think it came from Italy, if I can say that. But actually, I think I've heard, and I had not completely studied in the history of the tarot, but it might have come from Egypt way, way, way before and then traveled at some point to Italy. But then I think many cultures have had different versions of some kind of picture divination. But wow. I believe that the tarot originated in Italy. The first cards, the first, the 22 mm-hmm. is my understanding. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Karin's asking which crow deck I have. I have a couple. I'll have to, I think it's Fly Through the Veil.
Ooh, that's cool.
Typing it as I'm saying it. I have a couple of crow decks, though.
Well, everybody's got these. Well, I feel like I'm late to the pack. I guess I need to, you know, whatever. I need to come to your class and figure out how to use them and get my own.
And Ghost Dance is saying the witch's tarot is a beautiful deck. It is a beautiful mm-hmm. deck. I've seen it. Someone in one of my classes had it. I did not. I do not have it, but I love it. It was really beautiful.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool. So do these oracle decks come in different varieties to them?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
So the same thing.
Just as many as you can. Yeah. I mean, if you want, I mean, you name it, it's out there. I've seen butterflies. I'm sure they have. Well, I know they have a ton of animal oracle decks.
Oh.
And I have a couple of animal tarot decks, actually. Maybe they have an eagle one.
Maybe they do.
Or owls.
Maybe they do.
I know they have tons of like different bird ones and animal ones, but I wonder if they have a specific one for eagles or owls, because I know those are kind of your jam. So
yeah.
I bet they have something of that. bride. Yeah. So, yeah, I love, and Oracle cards are a little less intricate when it comes to reading them. They're usually pretty straightforward, and there's not so many meanings. There's lots of layers of meanings in tarot. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, it takes some time and a lot of practice. I mean, people can do tarot for 40, 50 years, and they're still really, can expand themselves into layers of meaning. So, because there's just, mm-hmm. there's so much. And really mm-hmm. working with your intuition is, mm-hmm. is a way to help build your intuition yes. through a tool like this.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Hold on to that thought, because it's 8:31. We're a couple minutes past our commercial break.
I know we are. You've just rattled on about tarot. So,
well, I know it. All right. So, everybody, stay tuned. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on Para X.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
To a ghost when their home is torn down. No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back here to The Gathering on the Para-X Network, and we are talking about divination tools tonight, and we've been talking about tarot.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of it's a been blue a good pass or a commercial break. I mean, wow, who knew I was, in the dust? Everybody seems to have a deck except for me. I feel bad.
Well, it's A-okay. You don't have to feel bad just because you don't have a deck, but maybe it's piquing your curiosity that it's so distant, that maybe it's something you can connect with. So, so anyway, that's one of my fun, pretty regular tools that I've worked with in the past. I think I've been doing tarot for a while now. And it's really fun, the different decks, because there's so many, the artwork, the writings, they're just so different. And some of them really can speak to you. And so I think it's really just fun to kind of see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and Christy on the chat room is saying now she wants to buy another deck. I know, right? It's like we're fanning the tarot flame here of fun.
I like it.
So many cool stuff. There's so many cool things.
I like it. Now, does everybody order theirs online, or is there like a place, for example, here in Minneapolis that people would go to buy cool tarot decks or oracle
there's
decks?
A few places around town. There's Present Moments down in Minneapolis usually has them. A few decks. I like to buy a deck where I could see it first. It's harder to do that nowadays. You go to any metaphysical fair and someone probably is going to be selling tarot decks. So that's always kind of a good place to do it. You can't always open them, though. That's the thing. But at least you can hold them and feel them and maybe see a couple of the pictures on the box. There's White Buffalo usually has a handful of different cards. They even sell them at Barnes & Noble now. I am not kidding.
They're
selling them at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm. I've seen them there, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Which I think is super cool that they're getting a little bit more mainstream. Mm-hmm. I've seen them at Patina. Patina is
at
them.
Have.
Oh, yeah. They had a little section. Like, I thought, what is going on here? This is great.
It's been a while since I've been in one of those stores. But, yeah, that's really...
You know, it's going to hit the mainstream when it goes to Target.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I'm surprised it's not at Target, actually. You know what I mean? Didn't they? Aren't they? They were. I think they still have Ouija boards for sale there. You know what I
probably.
Mean? So you'd
yeah.
think that some of this stuff would get over there as well, you know?
So, anyway, yeah. But I like to go and get them. I know that there's, I can't remember the name of it. There's a store in White Bear Lake. I think they sell them. I can't remember the name of it. I have Horace in Minneapolis used to sell them. I don't know if they still sell them. For a while, they weren't selling them. You had to order them. And I don't know. I like to find them out and about.
Right. Well, there's that store. Is that store still up in Anoka that was like that metaphysical store too?
That's the one, White Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
That's White Buffalo. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be called something else a couple years ago, and then they closed and a different place opened.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was just there a few weeks ago, and they had, I don't know, five or six different decks. Mm. And, yeah. And so I think it's just fun when you can find them. I'd rather not order them online if I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one that I just bought, I backed it, so then that one.
Right.
Of course, I had to get them. That didn't exist. And it almost, I mean, thankfully, it was, they had enough funding to get it going, but... So that one I got online, but mm-hmm. I like to find them.
Yeah.
And if you're looking, if you put the intention out there, they'll find you. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's like everything else. If you're looking for something and the universe knows, all of a sudden you'll see it everywhere, you know?
Yep. So what else? What else?
So what about, okay, so I'm just kind of Googling things. And so Angel is there a difference between an angel deck and an oracle deck and a tarot deck?
Angel deck is probably a version of an oracle deck, I'm guessing. I'm not seeing what you're looking at, but if it doesn't say tarot, it's some kind of oracle deck.
Okay.
Usually. I'm going to say 99% because there's going to be something out there that doesn't say tarot and it's not it is a tarot deck. So most, if it's 78 cards, it's most likely a tarot deck. If it says tarot, then it'll be a tarot deck. But there's a couple of different variations of the tarot. I know that there's a Toth deck. I don't work with that. It's a different than a standard, like the Rider-Waite system is pretty standard, and that's the one that I'm teaching off of. There's another variation that I'm not familiar with, so I don't work with that. But if it's anything other than 78 cards, it's some kind of oracle or divination deck. Angel cards, I'm assuming, fall into that category, so...
But both of those, both Oracle and Tarot, can do the same thing, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can still get information and guidance. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why we're doing this. Remember, we talked about mm-hmm. wanting to connect with something outside of ourselves, receiving some kind of information or guidance. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. an Oracle deck can absolutely do that. So it's maybe a nice way to get comfortable with cards that's a little bit easier to ease into. You know, it's not mm-hmm. as daunting mm-hmm. sometimes as the Tarot deck. So,
right.
But yeah, you can still use it, work with it for information. Sometimes you just don't get the depth and the layers of information that you would get from
That's what you said, right. Tarot. So the tarot has more meanings to each card than perhaps the oracle deck does. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, okay, moving right along. So we've talked about tarot decks. Well, then we have pendulums is another one that a lot of people have pendulums. I mean, I have one that I haven't used yet or mm-hmm. activated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People really seem to like those as well. Do you use that often?
No, I don't. I have taught classes on it. I teach, like, we've made them in the class and mm-hmm. activated them and worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people really love working with pendulum. I'm not a huge fan of the pendulum, only because it's tricky to you. I mean, it really has to work through you to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's moving through you.
You
can't be out of the equation when you're working with a pendulum. Same with dowsing rods.
Mm-hmm.
So you really are part of the equation. So you have to, you know, I like to work with like divining rods. I love working with them, especially in paranormal mm-hmm. investigations. But it's also mm-hmm. something you kind of have to take with a grain of salt because we are a part of the equation when we're holding them.
Right.
You know, if you can have it on something, a stand or something that would, it has to move on its own, mm-hmm. that would be fine. That's probably mm-hmm. better. But when mm-hmm. we are part of the equation, we influence things. Even through our subconscious or unconscious self, we are doing some kind of influence. It would be almost impossible not to, because
yes.
we're emotionally connected beings. And so we usually have some kind of interest
totally
in
get that.
What's
yeah.
saying. Yeah. And so I think they're really cool. And I think some people are probably fantastic at disconnecting and mm-hmm. allowing it just to be. I just have to step back and go, well, since I'm holding it, I am part of this. I can't
yes,
say that I'm not.
It's
so,
true. It's true.
Yeah. And I
really,
say that in the classes too. I'm like, well, you're in it. So well, are you influencing it? Maybe even if you don't realize it.
Exactly. And, you know, some people use pendulums more as a more of a protection thing too. You know, like I remember when I bought mine, it's a beautiful amethyst stone. And I remember the gal I bought it from said, well, you know, you don't need to use this for divination, but you can use it as a protection kind of tool as well when you're out investigating. Have you ever heard of that before?
That what it, for investigating?
Yeah, well, it's protection. So it's a protection, another form of protection. You can bring it with you, you know, and just keep it in your pocket or whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, like anything that you know, anything could be a form of protection.
Right.
Which right. is, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I wouldn't have it be my only protection.
No.
That's
no,
not
no,
fair.
No.
But if it focuses the intention, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can do whatever you want. So if you want to use the pendulum, rock on.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, rock on.
Rock on, baby. Let's just do this.
So funny.
So, okay, so then the next one I'm thinking about are crystal balls, which you have several, but you have one big girl there at your studio that, you know, you can't help but feel her the minute you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And she so wants to be in the center of that table.
She does. She's itching to be in the center.
Every time I come over, I say, can't you just put that ball in the middle of the table? Because she just really wants to be there.
She really does. You're correct. She really wants to be in the center. And not because it's not an ego or, you know, conceited energy thing. It's just she really wants to do the work.
Yes.
And so it's very sweet that she really, but it's very hard to see. Even though when you're sitting across from each other at the table, even when she's in the center, her energy is so big, it's very distracting and it's very hard to work with someone. Because most people when they come in, I mean, they, you know, we have this personal space thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do in this country, but especially here in Minnesota, we like to have about 3 feet if we can,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're really close to someone. But so people like to sit across from me instead of next to me because I have mm-hmm. kind of a round table.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's in the middle and I can see over her just fine, but the energy is so distracting. It's almost like I can't see over her. So, yeah.
Well, she is pretty strong and very, like I said, the minute I walk in, it's like, I remember the first time you brought her there and I was coming there for, I don't know if it was a show or whatever, but I'm like, oh my God, I can feel that ball. Where is she? I have to look at her right now. You know,
yeah,
I think Kristen and I came. Kristen was on our show and we came there for something and then we both went in there and Kristen's like, oh my God, you know, and I was same thing, you know. So yeah, she's awesome. So do you use her for divination yet or have you not activated her? I know you were kind of not working with her yet.
Yeah, and I actually have her story on my website, and I don't think it's updated. I have started working with her, and it's interesting because I don't really work with her for divination. I wasn't sure what we were going to do together, and so when I felt compelled to start working with her, she wanted to do healing work, which I thought was interesting. She's not so interested in doing divination work, but a lot of healing work she wants to help with. So she'll even help with sessions that we're doing in the other room because, of course, I'm not going to move her around.
Right.
And she needs to stay where she is in that room
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she really does help channel energy for healing sessions.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
awesome.
She's been really, really awesome for that and didn't expect that. I expected it to be more along the lines of the divination side, but why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to me. At all. She mm-hmm. will. I knew she mm-hmm. was going to tell me what she wanted to do when she was ready. And,
exactly. And
that
she
took
has.
Probably 7 or 8, maybe longer than that, years.
Yeah, you've had her for a while.
I don't know if it's maybe 7 years. I don't know. It's been a while. So that she finally mm-hmm. was like, okay, let's do this. So, but I have others that I work with that I do divination work. They're not clear like her.
Right.
But you don't
do
need
they to have do they have to be clear though to, no. to do divination work?
No. They don't even have to be reflective. It really what this is you're channeling your intention to receive communication or guidance or something from outside of you. So really you don't have to be able to see through it, see in it, see around it. See reflected in it. I have a whole bunch of orbs at the studio because I teach a class. If we're talking about it, I probably teach a class on it, a crystal ball class. And I hand out one for each person to work with during class. And some of them, you know, like you mentioned, your amethyst. I mean, yeah. We can do amethyst. So that's got a little bit of transparency in it. Mm-hmm. But we mm-hmm. work with like a dragon's blood jasper. Ooh. Or we Ooh, can work with... Good. Yeah. A Merlinite, or mm-hmm. we can work with, I'm trying to think, a carnelian or something like that. And so mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. some of these stones are just fabulous and they want to work. So if you are focusing your intention to do this and to receive communications, it doesn't matter what it, like it, we were talking about before, it could be a Ouija board, it could be tarot mm-hmm. cards, it could be a crystal ball, it could be whatever. It's really just the focusing the intention. And so the type mm-hmm. of crystal ball, I don't think it matters. I think there's plenty of people out there that would disagree with me. That's fine. Right.
Yeah.
Let them think. I love that people have their ways of doing things. That's super cool. I personally, because I've worked with so many different types, it's really just about focusing your intention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because that's what I thought too, but I didn't know. So you teach about, so I think I would be very interested in the crystal ball class. Can I just say
that
would
really
be
fun.
Something down my alley. So would you let me know next time you teach that?
Yeah, that one I usually only teach in the fall.
Okay.
It's kind of, a little bit witchier. So I like that one in the fall.
I know. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I have my wand class and my crystal ball class in mm-hmm. fall. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I would
so
like to
I'll
that.
Keep
that
you
would
posted.
Be awesome. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, a crystal ball can work for anyone. It doesn't have to be crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz crystal. It doesn't have to be. It can be anything. I mean, you can pick up a rock outside, and if it works for you, mm-hmm. great.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect.
Crystals and quartz, though, they hold so many memories, right? So.
Yeah, they can.
When I there, it's like craziness, right? So when it's same thing, like when you go into those, like those caves that are full of that, it's like there's so much in there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
they can be really intense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really like any, it's what works for you. Like if you prefer amethyst, like if you're drawn to amethyst, like your pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
If you found an amethyst orb, maybe that you would resonate with that.
That would do it. Yeah. Or like my, you know, I keep picking up on my sea quartz from out on the island. I love my sea quartz, as you know. They're all over my house, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I dug one up from the bed of the sea. Well, I dug a couple of them up last year when I was there, and one's huge. And I still brought it home in my suitcase on the plane, you know. So you're right. I think of whatever calls your name and whatever, you know, you can use it, but you never, I don't know, I have no idea. So you know what, this is why I need to take that class, but
right.
I'm a big proponent of that.
So in the chat room, Karen is asking about scrying.
Yeah,
and
I see
mirrors.
That. Mm-hmm.
And I have done scrying before, and actually you can use mirrors. You can actually use, like a bowl of water if you mm-hmm. wanted. I think in the past it was typical, you'd go to, like you'd find a puddle somewhere, especially if it was just from a fresh rain, you know, it wasn't mm-hmm. always there. You know, mm-hmm. that's kind of I think it's got a little bit of a magical feel because it wasn't there and it's going to be gone. So you really have this short window of opportunity to work with this little puddle for scrying. You could go to a lake or river as long as it's, I mean, I could say as long as it's calm, because I think that's the intention of scrying, is that you have a flat, smooth surface, that you can have a clear reflection
mm-hmm.
or flat image. Like if mm-hmm. some image is going to come through, it would be maybe easier to see or not so skewed. Anyway, so you can use, but see, that's where I think it's not so dissimilar from the crystal ball, because it might be like a reflective surface.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about mirrors
mm-hmm.
you have to be careful because they can also be doorways. Like, mm-hmm. not that we're, well, for crying out loud, a crystal ball can be a doorway, so it can be a Ouija board, all that stuff. You just mm-hmm. have to be careful, because I think mirrors without any intention can be, because I've done enough home clearings that mirrors just become, they just are sometimes doorways. Like, you don't do any kind yes. of divination at all with them, and they already are a doorway. So you just no. have to be careful with a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll put that out there, because I've seen enough of it that I know that that's true. So, yeah. It's not like your pendulum, you haven't activated it yet, you know, so right. it's kind of just sitting there, not doing much. Your right. mirror can just be letting people Absolutely. In all the time.
Well, and as anything. Investigators, well, as investigators, right, we always take pictures of mirrors because you never know what's going to turn up in one, you know, and we've had some doozies, you know, in the years I've been right. doing this. So I don't have any mirrors in my house except the one in the bathroom and the one that my handheld ones, of course, you know, to put on makeup and stuff, but mm-hmm. I don't want them.
Yeah, I don't have any mirrors. I only have one at the studio. Yeah. I usually don't have many mirrors around because, not for that reason, but it's just, maybe it is for that reason. I guess I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
they can be a lot of work to maintain.
Yeah.
And if they start getting used as a mirror or a doorway, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, see, I don't need one. I have one. That's a big one. And, you know, the little handheld ones we used to put on makeup, that's enough. I don't need any more, you know? Yeah. Some people yeah. really like the mirrors, and they have, like, big ones all over.
Well, Karen in the chat room is saying she loves... She says, I'm pretty obsessed with mirrors.
Mm.
I wonder how many do you have, Karen? I'm curious. So
stuff at her house, I don't remember seeing very many mirrors up there, but I mean,
well, she doesn't
I mean, a few, yeah. you know, but, yeah, interesting. I just acquired an old mirror from a friend whose dad just passed away. Interesting.
Well, yeah. And, Mufi in the chat room is saying, what do you see when you scry? Well, it depends on what I'm asking about. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I'll see people, sometimes I'll see places, sometimes I'll see words. Like the actual word, it doesn't always make sense right away. It's kind of like putting a puzzle together, but you know, it just depends on usually what I'm working with at the time. Like if I'm working on something, trying to find something out, asking questions, then it just depends on how they want to answer. But I have to wait. Especially in the beginning, it wasn't like immediate. Like you just poof, all of a sudden the stuff pops
yeah.
in. It's not like a TV that just turns right. on and you start seeing pictures. It can be, but if you're not used to doing this kind of stuff, it probably isn't going to be that right away. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be patient because sometimes, like, I think, was it Mufi in the chat room? Says, all I see are rainbows. Well, that's okay. Maybe that's all you're supposed to see in the beginning. You know, I mean, maybe that's how they ease you in to scrying, you know, is just like you see rainbows, or maybe they think you're stressed out, so then you need to see some rainbows. Like, I don't
That's
know,
right? Because you get it makes you happy, rainbows make you happy, you know, something yeah, that makes you excited and happy, yeah. Interesting, and then of course, Dave is your ghost dance is saying something funny about you know his lies, and then whenever he looks in there, he's telling him this old man is him. Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
They tell the truth, though, right? Those mirrors tell the truth.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes.
He says, I do need rainbows. Well, see, then maybe it is working. You said you don't see anything. Well, I think maybe you're seeing what you're supposed to yes. be seeing. So, yes. Yeah, I think that's perfect.
I do too. I love it. What a good conversation. We have the best listeners in the land, don't we?
We do.
Because they just get right in there and they, you know, say what they're going to say, and it just makes it for a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it when they hop in the chat room. It's good. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but sure. I love that, you know, Mufi in the chat room, you're seeing rainbows. That's what you need to see. I think it's perfect. And that means it's working. So there it is.
Yes, for sure. So rainbows and whatever else you might find your happiness in, maybe that's what it's showing you. That's awesome. I love it. But scrying has been around since the beginning of dawn, right? I mean, and people have been doing that for a long time, whether it be a pool, you know, a pool of water or a bowl of water. Like, you know, you see it, you know, they're always talking about like when you're reading books about old days or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if they're doing some divination, it's always they have the bowl of water that they're doing the scrying in and mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. And really it's just a way to focus your intention, for communication, you know, and eventually, mm-hmm. like I started you know, really, like I was getting all, you and I both, we have this intuitive information that comes in, and I wanted to try and focus it and understand it more. So that's why I started doing tarot cards. I mean, it's one of the reasons I started. I was doing other things too. And then I realized I was getting fast enough that I didn't need the tarot cards. Like, it's almost like the tarot cards were slowing me down a little bit because I was able to directly communicate.
Well, it's coming in fast. Yeah, for sure.
So, but it was a great tool, and I still work with tarot cards, and I love them, and I love teaching the classes. And so, it's still a great tool for communication. Mm-hmm. And, but I also think it's kind of a fun hobby is just collecting them and
playing absolutely.
Them. So, yeah,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all fun. So Mufi in the chat room is just saying, so we're talking about you have to see rainbows to be happy or whatever. And he's saying, well, he doesn't want to see the Eye of Sauron.
I don't think anybody does.
No one wants to see that. You know, there is a, speaking about that, okay, totally different subject, but I was over by the, by Mounds Park over in St. Paul on the cliff there, and they have, out of the blue, they have like this light up there that blinks on and off, but it's like, it looks like the Eye of Sauron. I'm not kidding. I was over there, I don't remember when. I was over there. We were going to shoot photos of eagles. It was Ghost Dance and I, actually. And we were over in that area. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the Eye of Sauron. And I actually put it on my Facebook. Okay, I digress. Whatever. This is what
happens. It's all good.
Mounds Park. Yeah, exactly. See?
Oh, did we lose you, Steph? I'm not sure. I think we might have lost her.
No, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, she's muted. Yeah. Did your cat step on your mute button?
Well, no, I sat down and I kind of sat on my little button and so on.
Sat on your mute button. You or your cat, one or the other.
I know it. We got kind of a lot of crazy things going on in my house tonight, which is what I said at the top of the hour. So,
yes.
Is what it is. This has been a great show.
And we didn't even get to all the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
I know.
This might need a part two as well.
Well, we might, you know, like I said, you know, we have the best listeners and they interject and we have to talk about what they're saying. And then, you know, of course, Steph goes off in some weird spot, you know, but it is what it is.
It's
live radio and this is why it's fun. This is why it's fun. But yeah, so we'll have to maybe do another show on this one too. So we'll do the intuitive show next week and then we'll plan for the divination at some other point, maybe closer to fall when we, you know, have. It'd be fun to do it. Like if you do the crystal ball course and I take that, then it would be fun to come and have a show about that after, you know?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatever. Everything works. So, but yeah. Yeah. Oh, Karen says she's going to explore the property with rods. Yes, you should, because you have such a cool property up there. I would love to come and do that with you. I have a pair too. Maybe next time I come up, we can just kind of walk around. That would be awesome.
She should actually use an actual stick divining rod.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there. That might actually be easier than dowsing rods. I have two stick rods that I've used outside and they work really well.
Yeah.
It's a little easier too than walking around the woods because the divining rods, when you're using the metal rods, they're very sensitive. And so I find that they're harder to use when you're walking. And that's why one that's made out of a branch is actually really easy to use out in the woods when you're walking because it's not as sensitive that way.
Yeah, I bet that's absolutely true. So, yeah, very cool. Very cool. Good ideas. We have a lot of good ideas. So, well, all right. Well, so we will have part two at some time in the near future. And, you know, she's saying she has lots of branches. Yes, absolutely. So we'll just, you know.
But yeah, we got to wrap this up. So let me say some thanks to everybody.
I'm not ready to wrap it up yet, but okay, go ahead.
I'm cutting off stuff. And I'm pretty sure that there's troops listening because we've heard the rumors before that we have troops listening. Thank you for your service and thanks for listening. Absolutely. Wherever you are, stay safe. And to all our listeners, thanks for being here.
Yes.
We just love you to pieces. And Sarge, best producer ever, Para X, thank you for keeping us on for 2 years. Weekly. Awesome.
Weekly. I know, even though we're so crazy and the cats meow and the dogs bark and, you know, the whole nine yards happens over here. But, you know, it is good. So, okay. Well, so we will see everyone next week at the same time and the same channel. And everyone make it a great rest of your week.